This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it's the big day, the day of the so-called big debate between the two candidates vying for the same seat, the top seat, the top post in the nation. We have Donald Trump going up against the newly blessed candidate from the Democratic Party as the person to take him on. We'll see how he does. And that's Joe Biden, former vice president under Barack Obama, now looking for his own chair and desk as president of the United States. Well, that happens tonight at 9 o'clock. They'll be debating at the Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio, from 9 to 10:30. It will be live streamed, and we have as a moderator, as the moderator, not a moderator, but the moderator, Chris Wallace, as you know, the veteran newsman and host of news programs at Fox News. So it's all set up, at least the mechanics of it, and we will find out what the details are later on tonight. But in the meantime, we have a task to do, and our task today is to project. We're projecting about the candidates who will be vying for the nation's top slot in the upcoming 2020 general election. We'll be discussing what it is we think, or we think they bring to that office, and whether whatever it is they're going to be crossing swords about tonight really is at the top of your list or the top of the popular list of things that matter, or is it that they'll be discussing things that matter to them, but not necessarily to the general population. But we should check in on this debate because they supposedly will be tackling critical issues and events, and how these critical issues and events may influence where they go if they're elected in the next 4 years. And in the meantime, that gives us a chance to judge their performance and get a better idea of what we think of their leadership capabilities, their intellect. Okay. It's not kind for me to laugh at the word intellect when it applies to some of these presidential candidates, but it gives us a chance to assess what they're made of and who, in our view, might be the better person to have in the White House to guide the ship of state in the next term. Now, as you raise your issues today, I don't want us, again, I'm really trying to push this idea of thinking less off the cuff and having specific points that you want to make, because it makes the dialogue far more meaningful. And we don't want to be sloppy and get into the lazy habit of just talking off the top of our heads. We're going to end that. That is going to come to an abrupt end, because by now we should have developed the skills and a base of knowledge that allows us, and on any subject practically, to have an intelligent and cogent point of view. And it is important that in a situation like this, where people are assessing things and analyzing things, that we not exclude ourselves from that, but we also want to be very careful that as we involve ourselves in the conversation, we have something meaningful to contribute and to put in the hopper for people to consider. All right, so the number is 888-874-4888, and we should get started. From yesterday, we had a couple of people who didn't get to finish their points. If you feel like you would like to return to your point and finish it off today, that's absolutely fine. But bear in mind that the topic today is this upcoming debate tonight. What are we expecting? Will we get whatever it is we are expecting? What are the issues that you expect to basically surface in a meaningful way in this crossing of swords, as I've called it, between Donald Trump and Joe Biden? 888-874-4888. And we should get started as soon as I could. I have a new phone, and it's like learning hieroglyphs. It is just don't know what this means. And then you press it, and guess what? It doesn't mean what you think it means. All right. So I'm waiting to hear from you. At 888-874-4888. What do you think should pop up in this debate tonight? Why should it pop up? Why should it be a subject to be raised in the course of this debate? And what do you think people are going to be saying, whether it is Trump addressing the issue or Biden addressing the issue? What do you expect the tone of the exchange to be? What are your particular concerns as this first debate gets off the ground and in a way ushers in for real the contest, the presidential contest? It always signals a certain type of it tells us that things are moving along. And it's a mark that everybody looks at to say, well, things are on their way. They're debating. But I don't particularly put too much trust in debates. But under hopefully the watchful eye and ears of Chris Wallace, he will keep people on point. And hopefully we'll get something out of it. We don't know. But I usually keep, you know, I'm reticent about making absolutely sure, you know, telling people for sure this is what's going to happen and this is what they're going to discuss. We don't know. We'll see. 888-874-4888. I don't see anybody yet in queue. Usually we have, I do see people getting on board, but usually I have a full queue by now. Okay, remember, I want us to refrain from talking off the top of our heads. You should have a piece of paper someplace, you make your notes, the main points that you're going to discuss in the course of your presentation so that we get something out of this discussion. Jay from New York, you're starting us off today.
Yes, good afternoon, Eutrice, and to the audience. I think tonight is going to be a entertaining show. First of all, to find out which candidate is going to be on its meds, which one is not going to, first of all, show their early stages of dementia, and then from there, which one could tell the best truths and lies to keep the American public brainwashed and dumbed down. I would be quite interesting to see how Biden deals with the continuous lies of the president. Will he call him out in regards to the lies? How he will address the whole tax situation? Will he point out to the American people that Donald Trump is a threat to America? And then, you know, how will he also respond in regards to when Trump brings up his son? Because if it was me, the first question I would ask Donald Trump when he brings up his son is, how did your wife become a citizen in this country based on the Einstein privilege?
Are we really going to go there? Are we really going to go there on a national debate? How did your wife become a citizen, or how did your son?
If he attacks his son, I would go there. Yeah, definitely. Because the thing is, his son has nothing to do with him running for president. He has nothing to do with anything. I mean, you know, sometimes you gotta play dirty with dirty.
We are not playing dirty. You and I, we should not be playing dirty. We try to get a sense of where things are, and from our perspective, because we've been discussing this for quite some time, though not as a debate, but we've been discussing the issues that are likely to crop up for quite some time. So I'm asking, now that the debate is scheduled for tonight, what questions are you hoping will be on the table that address the aggregate concerns of the people?
Well, the questions from the perspective of Biden will be to ask him about his taxes, which he will dance, trying to get him to explain to the American public how he's paid no taxes for many years and then $750, and how he hasn't shown the American public his taxes when he said that he did. Then he could talk about the wall, how Mexico hasn't paid for the wall, how the American dollars have been spent to build the wall. Now, from Trump's perspective, I don't really understand what he could say. I mean, if he's going to use this whole thing about black people and what he's done for black people, I would just honestly say to him, well, President Trump, when you came into office, the unemployment rate of blacks was 7%, down from 14% when we were in office, and the 2 years before the pandemic hit, you got the unemployment rate down to 5%, which is a net gain of 2% compared to a net gain that we had at 7%, and now it's back up to 15% unemployment for blacks. So what have you really done? I think those are the type of responses that need to be put into play. But you know something? I'm sorry to say this. I done really figured it out. The Democrats are no different than the Republicans. They just play a little kind of game. Because the prime example will be this. And remember this on this date. If Biden becomes the president and the Democrats take over the Senate and the Congress and have control like Obama did in his first 2 years, Joe Biden, instead of taking it to the Republicans, adding members to the court, making Puerto Rico and Washington into states, he's going to do everything in his power to try and make it seem as though we could work together as a partisan country. And you know how I know it's going to happen? Because
yeah, but you're off topic a little
Chuck
bit.
Schumer said it today. But that's what he should say.
All right. Well, thank you for getting us started today. Henry from Chicago, what are you expecting the duel between Joe Biden and Donald Trump to be tonight.
All right. How's it going, you Therese?
Okay. How's by you?
All right. We're hanging in there, hanging in there. As far as tonight's debate, they're going to deal with a lot of surface level issues that that have been in the news for the last couple of weeks. So basically, you know, Trump's taxes, the protests, the rioting, how, you know, if you're pro police or against police. These are the surface level issues that I expect for them to deal with, but I don't expect for them to deal with the core level issues on why these events are happening. You know, when we're talking about, you know, racism, when we're talking about, you know, the core of the health, the core of the health industry in this country, you know, because you know how we've always touted that we have the best health, you know, the best health in the world. But then when this pandemic hit, which that pandemic will probably get touched upon as well, but like I said, just the surface level issues. But nobody's going to talk about why, you know, almost a million people have been killed over this virus. And nobody's going to talk about how we're going to fix it. None of the candidates are going to say, you know, they'll probably say, well, we're going to pour such and such $1 million into it, which doesn't mean squat to me. But just a lot of surface level issues that they're going to touch on. And like I said, you know, and the previous caller touched up on it, it's going to be very entertaining to listen to Trump explain about, you know, his $750 or $725 paid in taxes and, you know, stuff like that. But other than that, you know, nothing of substance that's going to be touched upon.
Well, they have a pretty astute moderator tonight. What do you think he would force them to do in terms of addressing issues tonight?
Well, basically, I don't think he's going to force anything. Matter of fact, he's giving license for them to basically just tell us anything, because from my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, he's not going to fact check any of them in real time. And I think that
he should have a sense of the news and what is pertinent or what could be the direction that the questioning should take. Do you expect them to do that?
No, I don't. I don't. When they came out with that, and I understand what you had just said a few seconds ago, but I just feel like if you are not going to, you know, and yes, I do agree that he does have a handle on the news. I mean, he works in the industry, but at the same time, if you're not going to call somebody out on it or even try to, you know, fact check real time on a certain thing that you might, you know, that might be questionable, then you're basically giving them license to just say anything that they want to. And that is not something that is, you know, it's not healthy in regards to, you know, a real political debate, if we ever get one.
Well, let's see. Thanks so much for contributing today. Joe from Florida, you on the air.
Hi, Latrice. I respect your time. I'm sorry?
I said hello.
Hello. I respect your time and that of your caller, so I'll be brief. You ask about the tone tonight, and I think it's going to be, you'll see a milder Trump. And the reason is that he doesn't want the public to feel sorry for Biden. And I am not a Trump or Biden fan. I have no horse in the race as far as I'm concerned. Both of them are unacceptable. But that's you ask about the tone, and I think you're going to see a different Trump tonight, and that's why, because he doesn't want the public to feel sorry for Joe if he tries to beat him up, okay?
Okay. So he'll behave himself.
I'm sorry?
He'll behave himself. He'll be very careful.
I don't know if he can do that. See, that's another issue. But I think that's what you'll see is a mild Trump. Okay. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling in. Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice. How are you feeling?
Okay. How's by you?
You know me and the thumbs.
You and the thumbs.
Holding point. Well, to be totally honest with you, what this is going to be, my opinion, is going to be a slobber knocker. It's going to be a lot of surface rhetoric pertaining to his taxes. The COVID-19 situation will be mentioned, but I don't think we're going to get any type of discernible platform out of either one of them as far as to what you're going to do with the real issues that are facing this country, as far as the climate situation, as far as the homelessness situation, as far as the job situation, and as far as how the economy has been compromised by the shutdown, even though I believe it might have been necessary, but how are we going to recover small businesses? A lot of people that I know personally, their business has basically been destroyed by this, and they can't come back. Several local stores in my neighborhood, on a personal level, are non-existent, and we've got a lot of shuttered up businesses, and that's going to affect the local economy. So I don't think there's going to be any pertinent discussion pertaining to that, even though we need it, because I don't think these candidates are capable of, they're so out of touch. I don't think they're capable of understanding that that's what's really needed to be addressed. What is your agenda? How are you going to address these outstanding problems that are reflective in the future? We're just going to get another dog and pony show tonight, a slobber knocker. If Trump can contain his infantile behavior and if Biden can remember where he's at, it might be a little entertaining, but nothing of any substance.
Well, let me ask you, a debate, and this is the first of three, they should make some pretty solid points nonetheless. What do you think Biden has, the point that he has to make against Trump that could work tonight if he did a good job of it?
Well, in my opinion, I mean, if Biden comes up with a reasonable plan, if he addresses the wealth gap, if he addresses the healthcare situation, if he addresses how are we going to revitalize the economy on a small business level, which is historically has been the basis of local economy, small business. How are we going to boost up these stores? How are we going to boost up these restaurants? What are we going to do about housing? The skies were orange for several days. I mean, it looked like, you know, what are we going to do about that? I mean, obviously, there is an issue with global warming. Obviously, there is an issue with climate. How are you going to address that? Are we going to reinstate the Montreal? Are we going to reinstate the Kyoto Protocol? Are we going to take serious movement towards a Green New Deal? Those are things that, you know, we need to. They should have been put up. They should have been out even before all this nonsense started. So, I mean, at this point, if I got to tell you that, then you're wasting my time and your own.
Good point.
I mean, baby.
Thank you for calling in and contributing. E from Edgewater, what do you think would be a really pointed question from Donald Trump tonight to Joe Biden?
Hello? Are you speaking to me, Etrice?
Yes.
I missed the first part. When I heard my name, I always press the button so I'm on off speakerphone.
What would you think would be a pointed question from Donald Trump to Joe Biden tonight?
Well, if you permit, I had something that I specifically called for, the mediator, Chris Wallace. Can I speak on him just for a moment? Well, it seems that we'll come down here to Florida. I lived in New York for 58 years in Brooklyn, moved down here, and I've been here 7 years. for some reason, AM radio is very terrible. You might get a few stations at nighttime. Somehow you get a few stations. So I always was a fan of news radio, and when I'm in the car, I try to find. So the station I found was a Fox affiliate. It seems that, does Chris Wallace work for Fox Network?
Yes.
Okay, so that seems to favor Trump. They seem, he has a good friend on this station that I'm listening to for the news in the mornings or at night, and the name is Brian Kilmeade.
But get to the question I asked you, though, if you don't mind, so we could move along. What would be, from Chris Wallace, as a veteran news person, a serious question to Donald Trump tonight?
Guess a serious question would be, what does he plan to do about the situation that the United States is in with so many problems? A specific question?
What do you think? What do you think would be a potent question to ask Donald Trump tonight?
Seems like a simple thing to answer, but you know, I'm putting myself in his place, and I'm saying, what would I ask Donald Trump? I think the whole thing is going to be a setup for Donald Trump, but it would be a good question. There's so many questions you could ask about the economy and something specific.
Yeah, advance one question that you think will stymie Trump tonight or make it very hard for Trump to respond.
So many thoughts running through my head, but I can't put my finger on one. No.
Okay. So tell you what you do. You can take a breather and think about it and call back in. I'll keep an eye out for your name when you have an idea of what kind of question would likely stump Trump tonight.
But from our experiences with these question and answer sessions, there's nothing poignant going to happen. It's just going to be a bunch of a dog and pony show.
I don't want you getting too comfortable with generalizing like that, because you never know. And it is quite possible it wouldn't be anything like you expect.
Could you just help me understand why the people on the Fox Network are supporting Donald Trump so much, and NPR, National, and all these other stations are against Trump?
Always been the case. The news media seems to have fallen into this pattern of taking a position. I don't know that they should do that, but they seem to do that. They have a point to make, it seems. Their board of directors are selected from different spheres of influence. And one of the things that they do deliver as members of the board is influence at this time, this particular time when elections are being held. I don't think it is healthy, but it occurs. We'd be crazy to ignore it. It does occur. The New York Times has one point of view.
Sean,
the New York Post has another point of view. The Washington Post has another point of view. And it is during election time you see evidence of the biases that they have in coverage and in opinions and shaping public opinion. It's an issue that should confront the medium as a whole, because practically all media outlets have something of a political point of view, which colors in turn their coverage. I don't think that that's a good thing.
Yes, but
on the other hand, media organizations are looked to sometimes set the tone or to pick up an issue and run with it in behalf, supposedly, of the interests of the people. So it's a two-edged sword.
I know, but
I don't want to get off track.
You're making it too complicated. It's simple. Why does one man love Donald Trump and another man hates him?
Yeah, but that's not the question we're dealing with today. It's not.
But these are educated people
on the table. So I again extend to you, if you're not quite ready to answer now, take a few moments, think about the question, and if you're comfortable later on, and you've had the time to think about it, call back in and let's hear what you have to say. Thanks for calling in. Ed from Philadelphia, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
I really appreciate this forum.
Thank you.
I'm not a Trump supporter, but I think the onus is going to be on Joe Biden. I believe he has more of a tightrope to walk. And so, therefore, I don't think he can get specific about too many things, because this coalition that he's built with these retread Republicans is going to prevent him from, just being able to be open and specific about things. And so I think Trump has a little bit more room to pivot. And so that's how I think the debate will be tonight.
But does he really? He has offended many in the party by his conduct, his repeated behavior, and even his policies, the policies of his administration. Many Republicans, in fact, have turned on him because they don't know where he's going. He seems to be more enthralled with the idea of just getting attention, and he seems to equate getting attention with being an effective leader. But many in the Republican Party don't particularly appreciate his approach and where it has taken the party as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. But I think that he's got the power of the office or the bully.
But he's also been charged or is seen as abusing the power of his office.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt. No doubt. But he can run this law and order. He can run that law and order. I don't know. I don't think Biden has the chops to be able to open up and expose a lot of these contradictions that exist with Trump.
Why do you think that?
Let's see. Yes. Okay. Well. Biden doesn't want to appear to be aligned or associated with people on the progressive side. And so far, he's been able to maintain this coalition with those Republicans that fled the party. I think that's going to be his detriment. And that's why he's not going to be able to attack Trump on things that are specific that affect the most of us.
Give an example.
Okay. I think that, let's say, Trump might raise the issue about this this platinum plan that he has for the black community. I think that that is something that will out-pivot anything that Joe Biden presents as it relates to black people, because Joe Biden's has been the architect of the crime bill, the credit card bill that he signed that affect people like me who still have student loan debt to pay. I just see a lot of things like that that Biden will not be able to adjust and address specifically because he can't.
Well, that would be odd because he has served for two terms as the vice president to the nation's first African-American president.
Yeah, an African-American president who was the deporter-in-chief, who was almost sued by presidents of historically black colleges and universities.
Yes.
A lot of stuff. When he bailed out the banks, this president, that former president, bailed out the banks and was responsible for one of the largest transfers of wealth from the bottom to the top. I just see a lot of areas that benefit Trump that won't benefit Biden.
Okay. So you expect what? They'll be nice and polite to each other tonight?
I
and avoid any clashes and troublesome areas?
I think that we won't let the fireworks will be sort of melodrama in that the onus will be on Biden to be able to perform and deliver cogently. He's going to have to address some of his record, his positions on these wars, these endless wars. I don't see that he can do that and be effective.
Okay. Well, you made a valiant effort, and I congratulate you for it.
Well, thank you.
We'll see how it works tonight. We don't know how it's going to work out, but it's important that we have an idea. That's really, really important for our purposes, that we should go into this with some kind of idea of what our expectations are when these two so-called titans clash.
So, right.
Thanks for calling in. Gwen from New York, you're on the air, and welcome back from yesterday.
Listening to people, and I'm like really shocked that actually people think that, Trump is got so much more on Biden in terms of winning. I mean, have they listened to the news lately? Have you heard that the guy, the minute he leaves office, will probably get arrested for tax evasion, and his entire family as well? I mean, if I was looking at this on paper, I would say that Biden absolutely has to be the clear-cut winner just because of the enormous amount of lies and deviant services that this president has done to the citizens of the United States. I mean, get your head out of your butts and look at the facts. I mean, if we were going to look at the facts, then I don't think that Trump on paper could win. But Trump is not going to play like a president. He's going to play like some barnyard dog that's coming out there to tear the flesh off of you know, his opponent. That's how he's going to play. And so I think that that's why people are going to watch. They want to see Biden get his skin torn off by this guy. But I think that if I were asking the questions, it seems like a fantastic time to ask about the enormous amount of taxes he paid, you know, that $750. I think he paid it twice even. I might start with that question and how he will feel if he leaves office, and as he leaves office, the police are ready for him, and they're going to lock him up for tax evasion. How will he take that? How will he take that in stride? Will he get his lawyers on top of that? And the other question you might want to ask Trump is that, given the fact that he has now been accused of tax evasion, and if people handle it like a regular citizen, he will be arrested or have to pay back the money. So maybe we could ask him, do you plan on paying back the taxes that you didn't pay, like everybody else has to pay back, or are you going to go to jail? Now, I even have questions about what happens, seriously, if Trump loses and gets arrested. Do we have to like give him a funeral of a regular president? Do we have to let him lay in state? Should we put the orange jumpsuit on him?
Anyway, you have him dead and buried already.
Yes, because he's old. I mean, he's pretty old. So I don't know how long he'll make it in prison. Because you want to know something, for all these military guys that are on TV, it's amazing to me. Absolutely amazing. My father was in World War II, jumped out of a burning airplane twice. And I listened to people on TV talking about Biden not being able to make a decision in a time of war. Well, Trump got out of military service 7 times for plantar warts on his feet. So, like, what's wrong with people?
It happens a lot to people who are wealthy. We may not appreciate it, but these things mysteriously appear.
prevent
people from even wearing army boots, for example. So we have to be understanding of that.
I think America needs to go into psychotherapy.
What do you expect, though, in this exchange between Trump and Biden? Would you say would be the strongest points that Biden could make against Trump? What would you say would be the strongest points that Trump could make against Biden?
Well, I'll tell you the ones that I think they're going to play. I think that it's been said that Biden is going to rail against him for the coronavirus, that's a pretty safe territory for him to go into. He can't get in any trouble. But Trump is going to get below the belt and go against his son. But here's the other thing I want to point out about Trump. You know, today Trump is being guided by Chris Christie and Rudolph Giuliani. Now, Rudolph Giuliani never seems to miss an opportunity to throw him directly under the bus. So it always amazes me when Trump gets out there and allows Giuliani to handle something for him. And Giuliani never seems to miss a chance to totally throw him under the bus. Their relationship is so odd. I mean, for Trump, who usually fires people that cross him, Giuliani routinely crosses him, and Trump never does anything about it. And the only time I've ever seen this happen is in romantic relationships, you know, like a romantic relationship that is dysfunctional, you know, where a guy is very abusive to a girl, but the girl keeps taking him back. That's sort of the way Trump acts. He sort of acts like that girl who's willing to take that guy back who's always slapping her around. So it'll be interesting to see the advice that he gets given by Giuliani and Chris Christie. Chris Christie also doesn't like him. Chris Christie was very bitter about not being brought into his administration, but Chris Christie arrested Trump's daughter's father-in-law. So surprise, surprise that he wasn't brought in. So it'll be interesting to see how they guided him. And but I have no doubts that Trump is going to go for the low blow, and Biden has been advised to try to take the opportunity to not so much as answer Trump, but to take this hour and a half to direct any messages he wants to get out there
to the American public, the things that he thinks are important. And I got to tell you something, and I know you've debated a lot of things, Utrecht, so you know this too. The most important thing in the debate is it doesn't matter what question anybody asks you. The microphone has to be yours, and all of the story has to be turned into something that has to do with you. That's the trick in a debate, is it has to come back to you and you know, you doing great things. And there's all another way of doing it, too, and that is to make sure that you get out there and you dump every stitch of your opponent's dirty laundry out there. I don't mean dirty laundry personal, but I mean the things they've done in the past that really screwed up things. But I don't think Biden will do that, because remember, this is a debate in the presidential form, and these things are never really debates. They're actually just conversations. But you know what? Trump is unpredictable. He actually wants a war. He wants a pit bull fight. So one is going to go for the pit bull fight. The other one is going to try to show a statesman. But either way, I can't understand how people, as I listen to the program, continue to fall under. I hear people feeling afraid of this guy. This guy is not to be afraid of. This is a little fairy who couldn't, and I mean fairy as in, you know, Disneyland, who couldn't go to Vietnam because he was too scared and his feet hurt too much. So what is this man, what are you so afraid of this guy for? I'm afraid of him because he's insane.
Well, don't forget, he was thinking, and his father, more importantly, was thinking as in terms of him being an heir. You don't want your heir to risk your heir to
he had a great fortune. He had a couple of brothers that also were heirs.
So he might have had some foot problems. He developed foot spurs. So spurs. So
those damn heel spurs. You know, a few downward facing dogs and you can cure yourself. I just want to put that out there because I've had them. And I just want to also put this out there. You know, I was really little when the Vietnam War was going on, but I remember our neighbor going to the war, and he had his arm blown off, his eye blown out, and his leg. He lost all that. And I think he was 23 years old. And I would encourage everybody to think of that kind of person who is also somebody's heir and somebody's son. And then think about this skunk who uses bone spurs as a flimsy reason to not go and do what he is expected to do.
And he used it several times. It seemed to work.
Yes, it did work.
The recurring plague of the bone spurs. Thank you, Gwen, for calling back today and contributing.
Okay.
Patricia from New York, you're on the air. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, Utrecht. Good afternoon to the Pierrot family. I'm doing well. Thank you so much. If I were able to ask Trump a question, the question that I would ask is about the tax cut and its effect on middle class, the poor, and the poor and working and middle class people. You know, Trump, you know, if you say something often enough, people begin to repeat it as true. And Trump has always said that he, or at least he claimed that he created the best economy ever, and that it was going full swing until the pandemic hit. But there is some analysis recently of the effect that the tax cut has had, and we certainly know that the bulk of the tax cut benefited the were highly concentrated amongst people in the upper income, and hardly any of the savings went to the working poor, and only a smidgen actually went to middle class people. So the question I would ask him is that households, people who earn less than $50,000 a year, saw their overall income drop by about an average of about $307. That's based on an analysis that was done recently. So I would ask him, why does he believe that he created the best economy ever when you have over 87 million people whose incomes have dropped since that tax cut?
You're dangerous, Patricia.
I'm dangerous?
As much I can tell you. Yes, you're dangerous. To be able to ask that question right off the top of your head. It's a very good question. And do you expect, it's the kind of question that Biden will pose to Trump?
Well, the first, you know, if he doesn't, I don't know why. And I keep asking myself, why does he persist in allowing Trump to continue the lie that he created the best economy ever, because when you look at all of the polls, that's the area that Biden is always losing. And I keep saying to myself, who is doing the research? Who is doing the background checks on information? Who is doing a reading of the analysis that's coming up? Because wait a minute, if I am, maybe they should have me on his team. Because all you need to do is read the analysis that people have made of this tax cut, and you would debunk that claim, the one claim that he has stuck to that says why he should be reelected. You debunk that. So no, I don't know why.
If you were to ask Biden a tough question, what would it be?
Biden has said that he would increase funding for the police at a time when the police are murdering us in our homes. And I would ask him why, if he believes that Black Lives Matter, would he increase funding for the police at this time?
Because see what they ask of each other, having, of course, tempered our expectations, because this, after all, it may be described as a debate, but I'm not so sure that either side is eager to debate. What they want to do is to use the atmosphere and the environment of a so-called debate to raise specific points that they've been trying to raise for themselves. It may not have anything to do with questions that have been asked of them, but like I said, they have a pretty seasoned moderator tonight, and we'll see if the moderator keeps people on course and compels them to answer the questions that in fact were asked, and not to use, you know, three or four words in the beginning of their response as a way of getting into the issue the way they want to do so. And by the time they're done, basically they have ignored the question. It's a famous tactic, but we'll see. Well, thank you for calling in. And thank you for your insights on both questions. Thank you. Well, we have room for one more question if you call right away at 888-874-4888, and we can take your question right away because we're coming to the end of the program. Remember, it's a debate. We don't know how to debate, really. I haven't seen really good debates in many, many years. We have people talking, but we don't have a recent tradition of strong, fiery debates where points are actually made, where people observe the rules, where issues are raised that have gone unanswered and unattended for years. So I'm not expecting that this debate tonight will break all those traditions that have developed in the ensuing years, but I always do hope that we could see evidence sometime soon of a real debate. What the candidates want to do for the most part is escape. They want to escape any possible confrontation with the truth, and they use the debates to camouflage their records and to move the debates away from them and instead shine a light on their opponents. But we really don't see very much in the way of really strong debates in the United States for the last several years. Even growing up, as I did in Trinidad, when there are debates, you know, we were kids, we didn't have TV at that time, generally in the country, but you sit by the radio and we would definitely listen to the points being made and we will take a vote at the end of the debate. But those were debates. I'm hoping and praying that sometime soon we can see evidence that political folk know how to conduct a debate and how to score points and to do it in the grand tradition. In the old days where people used to have to stand up and scream their points because they didn't have microphones and so forth. So I'm hoping for a return to that. But you all made excellent points today, that's for sure. And you should continue to examine what people are saying and to keep tabs so that at any time when you're called upon to ask a question, you have enough information in the old reservoir to be able to ask a pointed question and to slam people with their own stuff because you have found weaknesses in what they say. Thanks so much for listening and contributing, and we return to each other tomorrow. God willing, and the creek don't rise, as I used to say. Bye-bye.